is walking on a desert. What's the specific characteristic of a desert?
Dry.
Hot and dry. Yes, there is no what?
No rain.
No rain, yes. And because there's no rain, there's no
water.
Yes. And then, if you meet a happy group of souls who give you water as you've been walking on the desert, how do you feel towards those souls? What do you think, Rupa?
Very endearing. You want to do something for them.
Yeah. So thank you very much for that kirtan. Now, what am I supposed to do for you? You've sung Hare Krishna so nicely. And the material world is really like a desert. It is very hot. Samsara bishana lay. Who knows the rest? Nisha bishana lay. Anyway, it's very hot and it burns. And one is longing for some nectar, sweetness to drink. But in the material world, it is simply not there. Now, who knows how to turn this on at this point? I think we're ready to begin. Well, to turn that on, that part, yes, we don't want that exactly. But just, I don't think I can do it from here. See where it says the second side of surrender, the last icon? Why don't you just give it a click and get rid of the complaint about my wireless network is not connected. And then hit F5 and we're ready to begin, Krishna willing. Just hit F5. Yes, and Krishna willing, it'll... It's Krishna willing. Krishna wasn't willing. We're going to do it this way. Okay. Okay. Now, it's an intriguing title, I thought. You always have to find a title that everyone wonders, now, what is this going to be about? But you revealed it yesterday. A morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan Dham. That's going to be the essential substance of what this presentation shall be about. But there will be one class or talk, lesson that we'll have before that, and that's the one we're going to have right now before we begin Prabhupada's walk. Now let's see if this bit of technology works. Well, oh yeah, have to turn it on. Okay. Yes! Now there are three points that we're going to make at this point. Okay? And the first one, point one, is... You have to read it. What does it say? Loudly.
Go. The first side of surrender.
Yes.
Everyone should surrender in the to the Lord's feet of Krishna.
Yes. This is the first point. And this is the first side of surrender. That everyone should surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, Jagatrini Mataji told me that someone who asked the question this morning after her class about surrender. Who asked that question about the fearsome nature of having to give up everything and surrender? Who asked that question? Yes, there's an honest man. Giving up everything. But we'll, Krishna willing, we'll end up talking about that. But the first side of surrender is that we should surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Because actually, there is no other shelter in this world. And the word surrender is in Sanskrit, it's the word sharanagati. Sharana means giving oneself to Krishna. Because in the material world, who is the center? Everyone who thinks they're the center of the existence, raise your hand. Okay, now is another time for honesty. But everyone who really is the center of existence, raise your hand. Sometimes someone under 5 might still think they are the center of existence. But in fact, it's very difficult to convince the rest of the world that I am the center of existence, because everyone is thinking that they are the center of existence. This is called, and this is the effect of, Maya or illusion. The universe, the world, it simply does not revolve around me. It does not. But in fact, it does revolve around Krishna. Now we're going to, before talking too much, we're going to show, talk about something from the Bhagavatam. This is, who's going to read this one? Yes, Prabhu. But loudly.
When the gods approached Krishna and offered him prayers, Bhagavatam, 10.2.26.
That, you know what that means? The one of the points mean? Bhagavatam Canto 10, this means chapter 2, right in the beginning of chapter 2, right in the beginning of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam.
And
the
26th verse to 41st.
Yes, thank you very much.
While he was still within the womb of Devaki.
Yes, so Krishna was still within the womb of Devaki. He had gotten there because the demigods had prayed to Lord Brahma, or Lord Brahma had requested Krishna at the ocean of milk, because there was so much difficulty in the world. The world was overburdened with difficulty, and ultimately, and if you don't know this yet, time, that great teacher will inform you very deeply. If you don't know this yet, that life ultimately is not meant for pleasure, it is ultimately quite difficult. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam anitya asuka loka. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, life in the material world is hard. We dream, oh, when we're young, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. I'm going to have this kind of a life. My prince will come. I'll have a wonderful husband or a wonderful wife. And we're going to have wonderful, little, beautiful children who will completely give us pleasure and always do what we say. And you have to try hard, of course. And they're going to grow up and have wonderful families and no frustrations and jobs and life, that, and the weather is always going to be perfect, and my credit card will never get overdrawn or anything like that. And my parents also will live forever. Not that I want to bring everyone bad news, but Krishna has already done it. Given the word on the material world. It is in fact dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Despite our dreams, and really it's a dream, it's illusion, it's maya, it is that which is not. Despite our dreams and desires for perfection in the material world, with me as the center, without Krishna, it doesn't work like that. It cannot. And ultimately, it is death that spoils everything. And for one who has taken birth, what verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Death is certain. What verse? Anyone? Yes. No satchitam means? Yeah, that you should not lament. You should not lament over reality. Because there is no use lamenting over reality, because reality always is dominant. Reality always wins over illusion. And despite the illusions we may have about what is going on, and we think this is what happens when you're in a particular body at a particular time. We think today is going to be something like tomorrow, and tomorrow is going to be something like the next day, and it's just going to roll on in its effortless, nice way. And then suddenly we look in the mirror and, whoa, what happened? I'm 60 years old. What happened? I don't want to think about what's going to happen. So I forget and I change the channel on the mirror to something more pleasant. But the demigods were in difficulty. When the demigods were in difficulty, they turned to Krishna, not illusion. And here is the first of the prayers that they offered to Krishna. Yes. Now, Satyavratam, Satyaparam, Trisatyam, Satyasya Yonim, Nihitam, Chasatye. Satyasya satyam ritasatya netram satyatmakam tvam saranam prapana. Now, Satyavratam, they're talking to Krishna. And they say, oh Krishna, you are Satyavrata. You always keep your vrata. What does vrata mean?
Vow.
Your vow. And he promises, Kanteya pratijanina me bhakta panasiti. He promises, he vows, pratigya. What does the word pratigya mean in Sanskrit?
Resolution.
Yeah, or promise. Resolution, vow, promise. He promises that my devotee will always be protected. So they're saying, oh Satyavrata, Satyaparam. What word is very dominant in this verse? Satya, Satya, Satya. This is one of the names of Krishna, actually, Satya. Satyam Param Dhimayi. This is the first verse in the Bhagavatam. It's the whole Bhagavatam is a meditation upon this Satya, upon this absolute truth, this absolute good, this all good, the supreme reality, Krishna. So he is Satyaparam, he is the supreme truth, he is the absolute truth, he is all-inclusive. There is nothing external to him. Whether we accept him or don't accept him, we like this, we don't like that, there is nothing outside of him. He is all-inclusive. So they're saying you are the all-truthful one who keeps his vows. You are the supreme absolute truth. You are Trisatyam. You are always true. In the past, you were there as the absolute truth. In the present, you are there. And in the future, you will be there as the absolute truth. Satyasya Yonim. All other truths in this world have their source in you. Nihitam cha satyam. All truth, everything in this world comes from you. Have their source in you, comes from you. Satyasya, satyam. Ritasatya netram. The word netram means eyes usually. Sunetram means very, very pleasing. So everything that's pleasing comes from Krishna ultimately. And that is the only hint of a deeper realization of who Krishna is. Because basically, everyone prays to the Supreme, and we see this in the Daksha Yagya in what canto? About Daksha and Lord Shiva. What canto?
Fourth canto.
We see it there when everyone offers their prayers. We see it here with the demigods. We see it in many places. That everyone praises Krishna or relates to Krishna according to their own consciousness. Rasa Saiva. When Krishna entered the arena of Kamsa, the different persons there, what was he going to do in the arena of Kamsa in Mathura? What was he going to do? He was going to kill lots of people. What was the first thing he was going to do? He was going to wrestle. And when he entered the wrestling arena, the different persons saw him in different ways. Some saw him as complete innocence, because he was such a young boy. Others saw him as death personified. Others saw him as strong as a lightning bolt. And Krishna indeed is all of those things, because he is the absolute truth. He is all inclusive. But we can perceive him according to our consciousness. This is such an important point. We perceive Krishna not exactly according to Krishna is, because Krishna is a reservoir of all qualities, but we perceive Krishna according to our consciousness. So the demigods, being controllers of the universe and being afraid, they were approaching Krishna, who they were speaking to within the womb. This chapter is called Garbha Stuti, the prayers of the demigods to the Garbha, the womb of Devaki, because Krishna was in that womb. They're seeing Krishna as the protector of the demigods, which basically means the Paramatma, the Super Soul, Vishnu. But actually the 10th canto reveals Krishna more in this Rita Satya Netram, the source of all pleasure, or Govinda, the reservoir of all pleasure. And he doesn't reveal himself in that aspect as the reservoir of all pleasure until we have a consciousness that causes him to reveal that all-attractive aspect of himself to us. He won't reveal that until our consciousness pulls that from him. And that type of consciousness that pulls Krishna to show himself as Govinda, as Gopinath, as Madan Mohan, is bhakti. And that is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to develop bhakti in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, so that Krishna will reciprocate with us by showing himself to us in that way as the source of all beauty, as the source of all pleasure, as the source of the most clever, charming, playful boy of Vrindavan. But that's not what we're going to speak about right now. We're talking about their prayers. And then this is the point that I wanted to bring out in their prayers, Tvam Sharanam Prapanna, that they surrender to Krishna, asking him for protection. They're in difficulty and they go to him for protection. And this going to Krishna to take shelter of him for protection is what we mean by the word Sharanagati, or the English translation we usually use is surrender. Gotripte varanam tata. This is called the angi, or the essence, or what we mean by surrender. We mean going to Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna. This, as if we go back a little bit, is the first point, or the first side of Krishna, of surrender. Now, a little later on, they speak about how Krishna, the demigods then speak about, in some succeeding verses, they speak about how Krishna is within all the bodies in the world are like a tree, the fruits of a tree, and Krishna is the source and he's everything and he's in everyone's heart and along with the individual soul. And then, in the 30th text, they say this, O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, everything, the source of all existence, everything comes from Krishna. And by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nescience, notice the word ocean, and notice the word nescience, and notice the word boat. Ignorance is what we mean by nescience. Ignorance. It is not science, but it is ignorance. And it is as vast as an ocean. Ignorance. And unless, regardless of how powerful we are as swimmers, no one has the capacity to swim across the ocean. It is an ocean. It is an ocean. But what is the boat that will allow us to cross that ocean? The lotus feet of Krishna. So by accepting those lotus feet, remember they're praying to Krishna, accepting your lotus feet is the boat by which to cross over the ocean of nescience, one follows in the footsteps of the Mahajanas, the great saints, sages, and devotees. This is the path of the Mahajanas, the path of the Acharyas, to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and consider Krishna's lotus feet, that boat that will take us across this ocean of material existence, which again, it means suffering, it must mean suffering, it must mean death. And by this simple process, which simple process? But what did it specifically say? What is the process? Taking shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, one can cross the ocean of nescience as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. One of the acharyas have commented that the water that fills the hoofprint of a calf, rather than it being poisonous or bad for us, it is actually purifying. So similarly, rather than it being a caustic ocean of ignorance and poisonous, if we take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, the material world, it shrinks in size and it actually becomes purifying. Second verse. O Lord, very similar. O Lord who resembles the shining sun. What does that mean? He resembles the shining sun. Raise your hand though, instead of just calling out. Yes?
He's effulgent.
He's so effulgent. Thank you. What else? And what about Krishna? Yes? Yes, that I wasn't thinking of that, but yes. Thank you. What else? Yes. Yes. Yes.
The shining sun gives us all life and happiness.
Yes, and it gets rid of darkness. So Krishna gets rid of darkness. And that was that one of the words that was satyamakam. That means all of Krishna is satya. His body is truth, the absolute truth. His form is glorious. Everything of Krishna is Krishna. So you are always ready, O Krishna, O Lord. You are ready to fulfill the desires of your devotee. A devotee is one who has surrendered to Krishna, who has made Krishna his shelter. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. If you take a boat across, the boat is on the other side. And then the poor people who are still on that side, they cannot use that same boat to get across because you've used it to take it across, to take them across. But this boat used by the acharyas is so wonderful and so special that not only do they use that boat to go across, it still remains in a place where we can access it. They leave the method by which they cross, and because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them, to help the other devotees. Now let's just read a little from Prabhupada's purport to this verse, from these two verses actually. The true mission in life is to cross the ocean of nescience. Now this isn't the whole purport, both purports, it's just some parts. It is to cross the ocean of nescience, of repeated birth and death. It's very, very serious what life's purpose is. It is not to play and enjoy. Prabhupada once said, he was walking in a park and said, we are spending our whole life trying to get people to use their lives responsibly. And what are people are doing? They're inventing more and different ways simply to waste their time. So this is the purpose of life. This is the mission of life. Those in the darkness of ignorance, however, do not know this mission. Instead, being carried away by the waves of material nature, prakriti kriyamanani guna kamani sarvasha, they are undergoing the tribulations of mrityu samsara vagmani, repeated birth and death. But persons who have achieved knowledge by the association of devotees follow the Mahajans. Such a person always concentrates his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord and executes one or more of the nine varieties of devotional service. Simply by this process, one can cross the insurmountable ocean of nescience. Here, the Lord is described as Ambujaksha, or lotus-eyed. By seeing the eyes of the Lord, which are compared to lotus flowers, one becomes so satisfied that one does not want to turn his eyes to anything else. And this is actually the secret that allows us to surrender. Because if someone is, say if you have something, say if you have, that's the only pen you have, and I start pulling it from your hand, what's the natural reaction? You'll become disappointed, yes. And as you are becoming disappointed, I didn't take it from your hand yet. I was pulling it from your hand. Now what will you do?
Hold on to it.
Even more tightly, if you find someone's trying to pull something from you, we tend to hold on it, hold it more tightly. And when we think, I must surrender, I must surrender, I must surrender, the more we think, I must surrender, it's so hard to surrender, the more tightly we actually hold. The thing that we're supposed to do becomes the opposite. But, if somehow, if we can just turn our eyes towards Krishna and just develop the smallest bit of love for Krishna, or just get a glimpse of love for Krishna, or get a glimpse of Vrindavan, or get a glimpse of someone else's love for Krishna, another devotee's love for Krishna, then there is a pull in us that makes us want to surrender. Just like a mother. All mothers, raise your hand. Okay. Now, when the fathers, or people who are not married, or you know, they have taking care of the children all the time, and the children are crying, and you feed them. And if you look at it from an analytical point of view, oh, what work, and the pay is terrible. 24 hours a day, continuously, year after year after year. But the mother doesn't think of it in that way because of when there is some love, everything becomes wonderful. They're giving up everything. And therefore, motherly love is considered as the closest thing in this material world to spiritual love. So here is a hint that Prabhupada is giving. That if one sees the lotus eyes of Krishna, which are compared to lotus flowers, one becomes so satisfied, one does not want to turn his eyes to anything else. Who do you know that really has eyes that are in this, that are just like lotus flowers? I'll give you a hint. It's not me. Who? Yes, but even more specific. Yes, Balava. He's right there, and he has eyes. So much like lotus flowers, lotus petals. Simply by seeing the transcendental form of a Lord, a devotee is at once fully absorbed in the Lord in his heart. Now, how to see actually the form of the Lord? To actually see it, that takes some devotion, so Krishna reveals it. It is also significant that the process shown by great devotees is not only for them, but also for others. If things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy, and also for others who follow the same principles. The process recommended in this verse for crossing the ocean of nescience is easy not only for the devotee, but also for the common persons. Ta-da! Who follow the devotee. Bhakta, bhakta, jana, priya. Who said that? Does anyone know? That not only am I dear to the devotees in my heart, but also bhakta, bhakta, jana, priya. The devotees of my devotees are dear to me. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful supreme personality of Godhead together help the... What word is that? I can't read it. What is it? Those two words help the what?
Serious.
Read these four words. Well, start over here. Why don't we just read the whole sentence again? This statement, together, everyone read. Statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful supreme lord together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Oh, that's very nice. So this is the part of the merciful acharyas and the merciful supreme personality of Godhead. They together help. And what's our part? Yes. The seriousness of wanting actually to decide that this is not my place. And I don't want to make the foolish attempt to be happy here in this place. Because Krishna has already promised that if we make a determination to be happy in this place, we are going to end up very disappointed. Simply disappointed if that becomes our goal. The acharya, Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the lotus feet, the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, two times that word strictly, yes? The followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. And the destination is Padampada. It means Goloka Vrindavan. Either, if not today, tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, the next day. And if not the next day, the next day. But yes, we will get there if, by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees, if we become serious devotees and take to the process in a serious way. Remember, this is the first principle. This is the first point. That we should do this. We should give ourselves to Krishna. We should get out of the illusion that we are the center and act to please Krishna. That is bhakti. When no one has to tell us to do that, when that is what we want, when that is the spontaneous desire of our heart, to do that, to please Krishna, to love of Krishna, then we are very fortunate. Oops, I was pointing it towards the screen. It doesn't work. Yes, here's point two. Now, there are just some simple comments also made by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on these two verses. Oh, I shouldn't let you see verse point two yet, because then our minds will only be on there. Now he says, very, very simple comments. The men of the previous verse spoke of the protection of the Lord. That was that Satya verse. The demigods asked Krishna for protection. And this verse, Vishwanath says, describes the form of protection. We want protection, but our part is to take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna. The men of discrimination, Vishwanath says, who meditate upon your name, form, and qualities, and pastimes, when you appear in this world, they place their consciousness on them, on Krishna, in these different ways. These are the people who board the boat of your lotus feet and cross the material ocean. For such great devotees, crossing the ocean of the material existence becomes as easy as stepping over the hoofprint of a calf. They are not even aware of its existence, he says. Just like when we walk over the footprint of a calf, we don't even have to notice it. We just walk over it. It's so insignificant. He also comments on the second of the two verses. The Lord is addressed as Dhuman, the sun. This infers that those within the sun of Krishna shine, those persons do not remain in the terrible material ocean of insurmountable darkness. When you shine on the sunrise mountain of Prema Bhakti, all darkness. What does Prema Bhakti mean? Yeah, the highest platform of love. Prema Pamarto Mahan, this is the goal. When one has that, all darkness automatically disappears, and then one can cross the ocean of material existence easily. For them, the material world is compared to the water in a calf's hoofprint, because the water in a calf's hoofprint is actually purifying and praiseworthy. The material world actually becomes a wonderful place, Vishwapurna Sukhayate, if one has captured the mercy of Krishna in this way. In the same way, the devotee's impression that he's caught in samsara, it purifies the devotee of the disease of false identification, and it is therefore praiseworthy. How are the devotees able to cross the ocean of birth and death? Because you, Sri Krishna, are merciful to the devotees, and you are not merciful to others. He gives others what they want on the material level, because they want on the material level. But for the devotees, he gives them the shelter they are longing for, because that is what they want. Now, in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, there is a very similar verse. Anyone know what chapter that is? What that chapter is about, the 14th chapter?
The prayers of Lord Brahma.
Yes, Lord Brahma's prayers. Thank you. And right at the end, there is a very famous and wonderful verse. One time, the devotee, when Prabhupada was very ill in 1967, and he was in the hospital with a heart attack, after having a heart attack. And one time he was lying down, and a few devotees were around him, and suddenly he sat up quickly and said, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama." And the devotees said, what happened, Prabhupada? How come you sat up quickly and began chanting?" And Prabhupada replied, "Oh, I thought I was going to die. True. I thought I was going to leave this world." And another time the devotees asked him, "What do you mean by surrender, Prabhupada?" And he taught him this verse from the 14th chapter. Samasritam ye parapalava plavam mahatpadam punyayasho marari bhavam buddhi vatsavadam param padam 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 yadvipadam natesham. And that, very similar to these verses in the second chapter of the 10th canto. "For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and he's famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world shrinks to the size of the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. Their goal is Parampadam, the spiritual world, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is padam padam yad vipadam, danger at every step." I'll read Vishwanath's comment and then we'll go on to the second point. "In this way, it is proved that Sri Krishna is the final object of pure spiritual love. Only by taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet does one get liberated and finally realize him." Taking shelter of Krishna. "The outstanding position of Krishna's devotees, because they have done this." This is what it means to be a devotee, one who has taken shelter of Krishna. "Now," he says, "the outstanding position of Krishna's devotees is clear. Devotees take shelter only of the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna, whose fame is charming, whose fame is beautiful, and whose fame is pleasing to the heart." Someone may ask, "What is that boat like?" The boat of Krishna's lotus feet gives shelter to the great devotees who have taken complete shelter. For these devotees, the ocean of the material world becomes like the water in a calf's hoofprint that can be crossed without any great effort. Their goal is the supreme transcendental abode of Vaikuntha or Sri Vrindavan Dham. Great devotees never fall into difficulty because their minds... Oh, this is a very deep point. They never fall into any difficulty because their minds are not attached to anything except the lotus feet of Krishna. Narayana paraksave nakutasthena bibhiti swaga apavarga liberation narak hell apitul yarta darshana. They're equal. They don't care because they have the lotus feet of Krishna burning in their hearts and everything else is insignificant. Now, I won't point it there. Point two. But I think we have should have a short break before we start point two. But it really should be short. Now it's 10 to 12. So one would be a good time to resume. Okay, thank you. Now it's, we should synchronize our watches at this point. Make it 11 minutes to 12. So at 12 o'clock, we're going to begin. We're going to lock the doors at 12. And the only way you're going to get in is knock on the door, and then everyone will look at you. But we won't do that. I once did that. I was chairing a meeting, and I did that. And everyone got so angry at me. I never did it again, but it's such a good idea in one level. If you don't mind people getting angry. Okay, but 12 o'clock exactly we're going to begin, if Krishna allows. Okay, go out and breathe some air.